What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Barbershop Talk. The guys are back. We're on a little give and go today. Two-man weed, fast break edition. Kind of slow week, man, so we ain't gonna ramble on and just keep y'all ears locked up for no reason. Ain't talking about too much or nothing, man. Try to keep the information focused, good conversation focused. So, you know, it's getting to be that time of year. We're getting closer and closer to football, though. I think about 80 days away. It's getting close. The count's getting close.
I think it was like 79, 78, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's getting in there. We under the 3-month mark, man. And a beautiful thing is like football just left us because we got to play all the way into January. So I know everybody didn't experience that.
Yeah, we've trained.
Everybody seen it play that long. But yeah. Let me tell you, it's a good feeling. I can tell you that much, man. I know what it's like to be on the other side of that. And I can tell you it feels damn good to have your team on that TV in January. I know nowadays they say none of those count, you know, none of those bowl victories mean anything, even though these bowl victories are actual playoff games that literally mean everything for your opportunity to advance forward. It's never going to mean the same thing when Miami do it. When we win the ACC this year, it won't mean the same thing. Now, I've been a big proponent of the shit don't really mean that much anyways, period. You know, Duke won it last year. Come on. And it was, what, 7-6 or some shit like that? Like, it don't mean that much, y'all. Well, yeah, 75. Like, it don't mean that much.
Florida State won and went undefeated and still didn't get in. So it's like.
Right, exactly. So if it meant that much, they would have got in, right? Like, yeah. They would have had to put them in. You know, you want to win your conference, of course. But like I say, when Ohio State won just a couple years ago, they didn't win their conference. And I guarantee you, nobody trading that. Nobody trading that because a good team is a good team. I don't really care if we win the quote-unquote conference when we had a chance to win it all. But anyway, it's your boy Lan here with X, Real Field General. You already kind of introed yourself.
What's up? What's up, people? We back. Like you say, man, there ain't a lot going on outside of we still bullying certain teams and stuff for recruits. Other than that, man, you know, we just – kicking it. Some workouts have started. You know, the players out there working out, coaches getting stuff prepared for the season because they know the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal isn't to troll on social media. The ultimate goal is to actually beat somebody on the football field, which is what we do.
All that talking on the net, right? Get in the field and do something. Gotta get in the field and do something. That's one of the best things we got, you know, from our players coming through. Shout out to Keontae for that one, man. He's so real for it. All that yapping on the net, that don't mean nothing. To quote Ruben Bain, God bless him. All that talking, it don't mean nothing. And that's the thing. Like, it's funny the mischaracterization of people that tell us stop living in the past. Y'all boys stay hanging on to. It's like Miami players gonna do all that. I play about that work, that business, all that yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. Get on that field, handle your business like men. And ain't a lot of teams that could really step to our business like that, you know.
It ain't, man.
Especially yours, the one that you thinking right now, like if you one of them 12 teams, y'all can't step to our business right now.
Man, listen, we so far ahead of the game in the state of Florida, we ain't even worried about them. Like we, you know, like when we first jumped on, we talking about the big dogs, Georgia's, Ohio State, you know what I'm saying? That you can throw a Bama in there, Texas, Oregon.
Yeah.
I guess Indiana now too, you know what I'm saying? We talking about big dog, man. And, it get to a point where, you know, I asked this question to a couple people, man, and I was like, well, if you take the top five teams from the SEC, take the top five teams from the Big Ten, is Miami better than those 10 teams? And then I'm looking at the trajectory. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I like, it's only one team, I think, year in, year out, it's going to be good because of the talent level they have required. And I said that was Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, outside of Georgia, then the nine other teams, I think Miami's better than, because Ohio State will probably be number two. And you see how we just bullied them.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, like, I would put Ohio State there because their talent acquisition is still top tier. You know, like, you look at what just happened in the last draft, right? So they did really well in the last draft. They still got a lot of pieces in place to continue that talent acquisition. So they'll stay right there for sure. But again, I'll take being on par with the Georgia, with the Ohio State. That ain't got no, I got no issue with that. And then, you know, there's times where we're going to start winning some of this stuff, which we already have against Ohio State and Georgia, quite honestly, because what you see on the field is actually better in a lot of ways, where some of these, you know, we beat Ohio State head to head, right? So that say, okay, well, you know, we was underdogs in that game. You know, they came off, they already took, they lost. I don't want to hear nothing about sleeping because they already lost to Indiana, you know, so they couldn't have been snoozing on us. They knew that was the game. And then you know, obviously you still got the Jeremiah Smith, storyline going to always float around that. Like, that's never going to really stop, at least until he get to college. And even afterwards, it still probably be a little bit of a story. But, you know, Jeremiah, and he a proud Buckeye, as he should be. That's school he go to. So that energy will always kind of carry on. So that was every reason for them to win that game, and they just did. And we bullied them in so many ways, right? And then when you look at Georgia, we went in on this, a lot of these recruiting battles, because A, they don't want to spend no money because they're trying to still live off of their history, which I get it. You could do for a while. And then, you know, then you look at the on field, right? And this is where you talk about living in the past. If you like a defensive end, right, you're a pass rusher. Miami better than Georgia. That's just the truth of it. If we talk about today, they don't got no pass rushers over there. It's an issue with Georgia, actually. Like, like, that would make them less attractive to your average edge. They great at stopping the run, but they're not good at getting the quarterback now. That's just not where they make their bread and butter, and it hasn't been that way for a while. So what Mario's done with the program is truly not just talk about it, but be about it, to the point where I don't just have to say come here because of our history. I can say, well, look what we just did. You know, go look at the numbers. Come sit down. We pull up the numbers. This Georgia pass rush numbers, this our pass rush numbers. What look better to you? Then you go, all right, look at the draft. It's had two defensive ends drafted. I'm telling you, what we're doing is different than what they're doing. You know, salute to them. Still a great team. Like you said, they got to be at the top of the top. I don't think they're in a position to fall off as of yet. But I'll say this. Them in Alabama, they're going to have to get with the times a little bit as far as this NIL compensation stuff go. You're going to have to turn the corner to an extent. I understand not trying to make, you know, like Kirby, like, I don't want to pay these freshmen all this money, right? And then you got these upperclassmen that are, you know, better than them. Well, Kirby, probably going to happen is you're not going to get the freshmen to come in the building. And then your freshmen – yeah, they really ain't going to be worth the money, because all of the freshmen that you could have acquired, you lost out because you, by principle, thought they shouldn't get that money. That's too much money for them. But if you plan on building something, it's just like any other investment. It ain't no guarantees, but there's something that sounds a little better than others. Like, if you're looking at DJ Jacobs, is he a guaranteed first-round pick? Nah. But is there a good chance? Yeah. So at some point in time, you got to just be like, we got to roll the dice and we got to make that investment. You can't always get beat out by saying, we just not going to spend that money. You should just come here because we've done good in the past. That just ain't going to work no more. At some point, it's got to be about what you're doing right now. And I think that's what Miami is winning on the recruiting battles in a lot of ways. You know, I don't think people think the national title game was a fluke. I think people see this as a trajectory. I think they see this as a way to program.
Man, it's so many analysts who really know about sports, man. A lot of them are saying the same thing. A lot of them are saying, man, they think Miami can get back to the national championship and win it. Then they saying, well, we think this is going to be a reoccurring thing for Miami. They is really going to be good for some years because the way Mario built it. I think I was watching, I don't know what it was the other day, and that's exactly what the dude said. He said, man, the way Mario built this program, he said, they not going to be having no bad years. You know what I'm saying? He said the only bad thing would be if Mario had one of those laps in the game that he's not supposed to lose.
Yeah.
But he said as far as being a good program and winning the big games, like Miami's going to do that. And I don't see nobody really stopping it. So
it's going to be tough not to. Because yeah, he's done it the best way, right? Remember they say they tried to say we was just a portal school at one point, right? That was the narrative. Yeah, you know, when Manny was around, oh, you know, they just portal guys. But now you have the perfect balance of high school and portal. And if anybody doesn't understand that's the way to do it, you're going to be lost out here. With perfect example, Clemson, right? You know how they fell off? Not that they trash now, but they fell from the top of the mountain because you had a coach that didn't want to adapt to the new wave. Because I don't like this transfer report. I don't like this NIL. Well, then quit. Go to Nick Saban route. Just quit, bro. I'm not mad at you for not liking it. I don't necessarily like it either. I just accept that that's what it is. I like kids getting paid. I ain't crazy about the portal in a lot of ways. But, again, I wouldn't want nobody to tell me I can't leave my job when it's a better opportunity out there. So I have to put myself in the same shoes as I would that person. And I'm like, Larry, be honest with yourself. If there's an opportunity for you to get up, get some more money, and be more successful, not only in your personal life, but your professional life, would you say, nah, I was here first. I owe loyalty here. Not at the number, right? Not at the number, right? And opportunity is correct. That's just not how we're going to operate. But, yeah, that's how you take a program like Clemson that was at the top of the mountain, and then now they're not at the bottom. But they below Miami now. They not seeing us as of today. So you gotta, you know, these coaches. I mean, he's slowly getting it. He's slowly but surely getting it. But it could be too little, too late because you don't let Mario build a monster over there in Miami that I don't think he thought was possible. I think everybody thought, you know, remember you go back to Feinbaum calling it dumpster fire? Yeah, dumpster fire of a program that Mark Richt took it, right? He's like, all right, hold on, wait a minute. Rick took it. There could be some life in this thing. So that was kind of like the first step to like, okay, this may not be all the way down the toilet for it. Then, you know, took a little step back with Manny. But even in the Manny era, we was at the forefront of NIL. So that's when we took a step back forward. So now you take those two things that let us know, hey, they were serious about football again when they hired Rick, right? That's like, okay, they're going to pay somebody. They got a real football coach. They looking like they're going in a certain direction. Then you follow it up with Manny, which was like, kind of not the most serious hire. Seems like they kind of reverting a little bit because they almost took the easy route, the cheap route, which is kind of them. But it's like, wait, they got this NIL thing together, right? So then you take the best of both worlds and you bring in Mario, and now you got somebody that gets both sides of the coin and puts us in a position to feel good teams for a while to come. I'd be surprised, man, if like the expectation now to me is like 9-win floor. And for that to be less than that, something fluky got to happen, like a major injury where maybe we lose a quarterback and then the guys behind them just ain't quite ready yet. It's, you know, maybe some talent there, but they're not ready to lead a team and pull us through all the games like that. But yeah, that's just testament to what he's done there. Speaking of, we did get another commitment from Andre Hippolyte, what's it, North Miami Beach, right?
Yeah, North Miami Beach, man. I identified this kid last year, man. Once I seen him, I immediately started making phone calls, and I was like, boy, I'm ready to jump on him, man, because this kid is, he like that, man. And playing at North Miami Beach, he plays all over the field, obviously. They only have like 25 players on their team, so you can see what he's doing. But yeah, he's like that. A play safety, he's about like 6'1" and a half, about one, I would say 185 maybe.
Yeah.
He's going to play safety for us, so you add him with the Jalen Jones. But yeah, he's like that, man. And then, you know, another school in the state of Florida, they was trying to get him. And they legally recruit. I mean, they not legally, they negative recruited Miami. Like, they tried to say, don't go to that school because Miami fired your cousin. What the hell? Like, what are we talking about? You know what I'm saying? So, end up committing to Miami right after his visit. Well, no, actually, while he was still on his visit, end up committing to Miami. So, yeah, that's a big deal. Able to keep a local kid, one of the top five local kids in the 27 class in South Florida. So, how you feel about that one? How you feel about him, Miles?
Man, I like getting kids that, like, back in the day, like, happened more back in the day, like, your best athlete just plays quarterback. So you got that, you know, that type of athlete that's just a great athlete. He's not just, oh, I'm a corner, I'm a this. He's an athlete. He can do multiple things for his school. So that was the first thing I noticed. I was like, all right, it's good if we're going to get a guy from, a quote-unquote smaller school. He does everything at that school. To me, those type of kids do translate to that.
Hey, he plays some QB too, right?
Yeah, he played quarterback, receiver, running back, safety, yeah. Cornerback. He plays every position.
Old school. Like, yeah, when I was coming up. when I was coming up, damn it, when I think about back when I went to school, every quarterback we had was the safety too. It was quarterback and safety, which is, you know, good because you understand the whole field from both ways, right? Safety, understand it from the last position in the field, and same thing, quarterback, you see the whole field too. So that's why I guess most coaches pair it up that way, because you got the best vision to understand everything out there. And then, yeah, just the athleticism. I like it, man. I like what they do in North Miami Beach. They done had a couple of pro guys come out of there.
I don't know if you guys remember years ago. Matter of fact, this was part of the 08 class. Remember, they had the other guy, Doug Williams, who did the same exact things.
Yep.
Same. He played wide receiver, quarterback, safety, he played everything. Like I said, this is almost like the same image, you know what I'm saying? But I will say he's a lot more athletic than Doug. He's very athletic, you know. So
yeah, he kind of reminded me of another guy that came out of there, Cyprian. Jonathan Cyprian.
Oh, yeah.
I think Cyprian ended up going to FIU.
And then
he ended up in the league playing for Jacksonville. I'm sure he's at right now. I think he's still not, in the league.
No. Cyprian, he's out.
He going now, okay.
Yeah, Cyprian is actually advocating for FIU a lot. You know, me and him been cool for years. So he seen me at one of the Miami camps. He's like, well, damn, that's why you don't come do this for FIU. I was like, FIU ain't as big as Miami, though. He like, that's the problem. That's the problem. I'm like,
all right, here we go. Shots out. It is what it is. Can't do it for everybody, man. Yeah, he ended up playing. I thought he was in the league, man. I think Cyprian was in the league almost about 18 years.
Yeah, he gave him about
Philly, Atlanta, Tennessee, and Jacksonville. He had a nice little career. He retired in 2024, so yeah, he's been out of the league just for a couple of years. Signed a one-day deal with Jacksonville to go and close out his career. In that regard, the Hippolyte, like, under the radar because of going to that school, and they're not a big camp school. And it's funny because ESPN didn't even have him rated. And I think it was E.J. Holland. I think I saw he reached out to him to get him rated. I was like, why is ESPN still even in this? They just don't care. So I don't understand why the composite still includes them, because like they did it and they just gave him like an 80 just to be like, we don't know nothing about him here. he go 80. He going to Miami and he has some pretty decent offers, so he must be all right. Like, I just don't get it. I don't understand why just at this point in time, they don't just be like, look, the composite is Rivals and 247 at this point, because they the ones that actually invest in it. But nonetheless, it's bringing our average down. And, you know, people like to get their little flex on. We got the number one average player, according to, I think that was Rivals. But, yeah, they're bringing the average down a little bit. And, you know, Giddy's fans, they, you know, Giddy, they like to fuss with these people online about little shit like that, man. So give them a little something else to go back and forth with those other fans about being the best of the best. Because, I mean, to me, that shit don't mean nothing. I just know this class is talented. You know, it's pretty much wrapped up. We got a few guys that they're still going to pursue. Obviously, you know, DJ Jacobs is going to be at the top of that list. He just came off his Ohio State visit, said all the right things, what you would expect him to do. You know, nothing real epic or new coming out there, but it looks like, you know, as far as like how much more they're going to invest and build on that class. You know, if I think it seems kind of like if somebody jumps on senior film, then they'll look at that at either certain positions or if they just happen to come off that elite all in all. Like, still in it for Woodard. He still ain't quite come up with his decision yet. It's basically down between us and Cal. He's still kind of mulling that decision over. So we definitely know they want to add another wide receiver.
Anthony Cartwright, the tight end, but
Cartwright, yeah,
looking like it's gonna be Oregon.
Yeah, as I say, Oregon's kind of the latest buzz out of that. He's out of the Detroit area, I want to say. I don't think Michigan really. If it was a second, I think it might be us today. But yeah, I think Oregon might wrap that one up. So I know they want to get another tight end. Want to bring in another edge, another wide receiver, and.
Another offensive lineman, again, like you say, they're going to look at the seniors.
Senior film type stuff, right.
Yeah, to see if they could possibly add one, but if not, they cool.
Yeah, you just had a pretty solid class coming in the last cycle, and then you're bringing in a lot of guard bodies in this cycle. I mean, I'm sure they're going to continue, you know, with the Mark Matthews thing to a degree. But, you know, I think it's a little shift in the philosophy, and you could kind of correct me if I'm wrong, X, where – I even see a point where they'll move on from him in a way that, like, they moved on from Henderson. Like, at a point, I think it just becomes, all right, it is what it is. It's clear as day, this is just what you're going to do. So, you know, I can see a situation where that happens, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's going to eventually happen pretty soon, too. Because now it becomes the interest level. Like, now it's not – he not even entertaining them, so – but at some point, they're just going to be like, all right, it's cool. We move.
Yeah, right. And it kind of goes to something we was just speaking on earlier, too, is, you know, the way the significance of all these guys shutting down their recruitment is in part is symbolic and strategic, because it builds that solidarity. It allows the coaches to start focusing more on 28. And again, that's not to say they, you know, they're built as tenacious recruiters, right? So it won't get to a point where, all right, they're not going to get no phone calls. You know, that won't happen, because that's just not how they are, because the whole thing is on built relationships, right? So they position coach still going to be calling and checking on and stuff. They're not going to be recruiting them at this point. Like, hey, you in, you know, I'm going to hit you up, see how things going, how school, how life, yada, yada. Things on a more personal level, I believe. So then that gives you opportunity, because right now, because of the calendar, you got to have your 2028 kids committing pretty much a year from now. Most of these classes are wrapped up for most of these schools, save for some that are going to have to. And that's the thing. If you aren't wrapped up by now, you'll be in a bad position. You're going to have to suffer and scrape, scrounge, and try to flip. And that just ain't a good position to necessarily be in. You want the foundation to be pretty well established and then maybe try to push for a flip or two, like we are right now. Like, hey, we want to try to push a DJ Jacobs flip. But if we don't get him, okay, cool. You know, we got two edge committed. We, you know, maybe again, senior film kind of guy. they like to look at, but you don't want to be put in a point of absolute desperation. And you looking at schools like, you know, LeBron bad shape, man. Florida State got about 3-4 guys committed, man, and they like all 3 stars. This class is going to end up being like all 3 stars, which is insane for Florida State, but that's just what it's going to be. It's going to be all developmental type guys, all high upside potential guys. So right now, where Miami's focus is shifting more to the 2028 class, and then they'll be free up to try to fill those last, you know, however it ends up being, I would say, you know, 4 to 7 slots that they might be looking to fill up to kind of round out the rest of this class.
One thing I want to make an important point, and got to let the fans know, so the reason why they trying to wrap up the 27 class the way there is, like you say, they want to focus on 28 class, and then they also want to focus on when the portal hit, they can identify those players early. It don't have to be a late thing, you know what I'm saying? Because once the season starts, you know, now you really, it's hard because you focus on your season, but you then still can look at, you know what I'm saying, the players who you might want to get from other teams. So you don't want to keep all that energy on, dang, I got to keep recruiting 27 class because we ain't got the numbers yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We at 19 right now, so now it's a lot easier saying, well, yo, we still going to recruit like 5-6 more kids. And that's it. We'll focus on the portal. We'll focus on 28.
Makes all the sense in the world. Yeah, because especially when you think about now, you only have the one portal window. So you don't have 2 opportunities to truly evaluate and, you know, try to get ahead of this stuff. And it's going to hurt the kids more to only have that one window. But it gives you a chance to shift focus. And it's just important until maybe one day they fix this calendar. Because I believe as of right now, if I'm not mistaken, this year's national title game will be played at the end of January. I'm not mistaken, like January 25th or something like that. I mean, that's... It's outlandish. They got to figure something out the calendar. I don't know why they don't just adjust it somewhat, man. Because everybody's in favor of it. I don't understand what the holdup is. But finally, they hopefully, at some point they'll decide that they want to adjust the calendar. So with the 2028 kids, there is there's a little focus right now on some of the Utah area talent, right? Which is, you know, in all my 45 years of living, I never thought that Utah would be a hot spot for football recruiting talent to where you like, nah, you got to get tapped in with Utah, dog. But, you know, they got a lot of the Pacific Islanders out there. You know what I'm saying? You got them Samoan cats out there. So you gotta get tapped in and tuned in over there, man. They ain't all just in Cali. You know, you got a lot of them Latter-day Saints out there. Utah, them Mormons out there. So you know, you gotta tap in with that community so they don't all go to BYU and Utah, you know, or take the Manti Te'o route and go to Notre Dame. Gotta kind of jump on that a little early. So we actually got several of the 2028 kids. I mean, have been on campus as of recently. 7-on-7 tournament just come through recently. And then, you know, just kids camping. It's just that time of year, again, because of just how the calendar works out. So there's a couple of names in Utah in particular. One that I think is probably the most interest right now to Miami fans is the Dennis, I believe, 201 or Tuaoni. I'm not exactly sure. We'll figure that out if he dons the orange and green. That's when I really worry about your name. You know, it was Francis Maui Goa for the longest until I found out he was coming to us and it's Noah. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Now I get your name right. It's more important once I know you're coming that way. But there is, if I'm not mistaken, there's some buzz on him reclassifying the 2027.
Yeah, 27, and possibly being another commit for the Kings for the 27 players.
So if you was able to get in with Tuioni, is that kind of supplemental to if we get Woodard, or either or type situation in your mind?
Yeah, either or. I think the staff still expect to get Woodard. You know, this would just be a luxury if he does reclassify coming at that.
But they'll take both.
Yeah, they'll take both
in this class, in this cycle.
Yeah.
I can see that where you will want to load up a little bit, you know, three wide receivers. I mean, if it's me, I'm trying to probably pull three wide receivers every cycle, because you have to look at graduating, pros, and then transfers, right? So we got a good culture where we don't tend to lose a lot of the best, but either way, you're going to lose bodies and you're going to still lose talent. Like the guys that we're losing, like if you look at the players that we lost to the portal, I do think these guys will go on and still contribute, you know, over at NC State, over at Missouri, where they did decide to go, you know, finish their football careers out. Not that they weren't good enough to play with us, but maybe they weren't good enough to be our full-time starters or our primary guys at these positions. So you still are losing legit college level, you know, Kane level actual players that could be on the field for you. So it's something to, you know, I would always try to bring in three per cycle if possible. I could see a situation where we might only do two this cycle, especially if we get Woodard and then Tuioni doesn't reclassify. And he's the kid that was originally from down here, right? I think I misspoke on that before, and that's on me, my bad. His family's from Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah.
Okay. And there's another thing, because I saw a little confusion. We were talking about in the chat, and I heard a little different too, which I was he's a bigger receiver, right?
Yeah, he's about 6'1.5", almost 6'2".
Yeah, that's what I saw him listed at 6'1" on 247. So yeah, I think some of the people are expecting maybe he's a slot type receiver, but I think he's more exactly actually in the frame of that Eli Woodard, that 6'1" kind of outside guy. That, you know, not necessarily that giant outside receiver like that, but a guy that you intend on working on the outside more. He's nice though. I think he's, you know, exactly what you would be looking for in the just an outside receiver, just with he's not necessarily a blazer. He kind of remind me of more or less is a bit of like CJ Daniels. I kind of get some of those vibes from him. Possession guy, I think a guy that you could depend on if he's able to continue to up his game at the college level, then you'd be looking at a guy in that same frame. So a name to keep an eye on. I don't know if I want him to reclassify 2027 or not. They don't really matter in this particular cycle, but right now he's still 2028. So that's one name to know. And then you got a couple of linemen out of the Utah area as well. One of them being the younger brother of Spencer Fano, and that is Mateo Fano, right? Right now he's the number 23 overall prospect, number 2 offensive tackle. They're supposed to be coming down to get some hands-on work with Mirrorball, I believe, this weekend here coming. Now, me and X talked about this a little before. He is, you know, number 2 tackle, but the kid right now is listed at 6'4.5" and only 240 pounds. You got to go into his he still got to finish up. He got junior year, senior year to play. So he got 2 more years of actually playing football and, you know, seeing if, you know, his frame continues to fill out. I saw a note where they were saying his brother, Spencer, actually was came in at 275. So you know, hopefully he kind of goes in that same route as his brother. I wonder what you do with him, though, if he don't put on more weight. Because he's playing tackle now. Like, what would you do with a 6'5 kid that can't get up to, like, 260? Unless he could play, like, in. If he can't. I don't know if he got the skill set, though. I guess just the idea is that he will continue to put on weight. But he's supposed to come down and work out. And then another one of his teammates, Maui Tanata, he's a number 8 overall prospect in the 2028 class and the number 1 offensive tackle. So he's already way bigger frame, right? This is a lot closer to what we had with Francis. This kid is 6'5", 315. So you talking already college size. This is a kid that could possibly come in and contribute his first year for sure. It just depends on what program he goes to and, you know, how technically trained he is. But they're running some good football out there in Utah right now, man. They got some legit programs out there. So, yeah, both of those guys supposed to be coming through. They're out of Orem, Utah. And then another one is Major Stokes, who's on the same team as them. It's another big kid, though, right? So you're talking about a 4-star kid. 6'5 and a half, 240 pounds. So, you know, this is out of the state of Utah, man. There's some big ass football players. And, you know, far be it from Mario not to get involved. Hey, do we have anybody else on the staff? Because I saw Broke moved on not too long ago. Any Samoans left?
Nah, I don't think we do. Coach Joe left. Once he left, yeah, now.
Then we had somebody after Joe. He wasn't like on field. He just left.
He just left last year. Yeah.
He just left. Yeah, I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now. All right, Mario. We gotta get us another one now. We trying to bring him back in the building. You gotta get us one. You know, they family oriented, bro. We gotta have like a cousin house they could go to, you know, where they understand the traditions and you know, the culture a little different. So I don't know who is out there to hire, but you got to get on that.
It's a good time to get in that area, too, because we play Utah and Vegas next year. So, you know, into that environment. It's an easy inroad, you know. We're going to essentially could host them in Vegas where you might not even have to fly them out. Or if they really committed, then they will fly out. So either way, it's a win.
You know, anybody flying out on their own, no way, nah, man. Everybody, it's the same way it been. You know, that's what's funny, like the unofficial business. It's just like a little bit slicker way to work it now, right? So now you get like the boosters could put them on the jets, and it's just a lot. It's still the same thing, but you ain't gonna get in trouble for it now. Versus before, if you got caught doing all that stuff, now it's a situation. So, you know, that's how these kids always making these unofficials, man.
Hey, let me say this, right? So I just logged on to Twitter and then somebody just instantly tweeted me. On Rivals, we have the highest average rating per commit on Rivals.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. That's what I was saying. Yeah, how they got us messed up with Hippolyte. Because it would be even higher, but ESPN only got them at an 80.
Well, ESPN don't rate, but I don't think ESPN rate. Like, I think the highest rated would probably be 90. And you really got to be like a Jeremiah Smith to get 90. And they didn't even give him 90, I don't think.
Yeah, they didn't have him as the number one wide receiver in his class. I forget who it was. It was somebody else good. But I was like, everybody knew Jeremiah was the number one receiver, dog.
Off topic, man. I see Rivals got Jet Harrison, the number one wide receiver in the nation. And I seen Jet Harrison play. And I was like, it's no way I think that kid is better than Bryson Wright. It's no way.
I tweeted the same exact thing from the account. I retweeted it and I said, look, he's very, very, very good. But Bryson Wright, you know, and Bryson played both sides of the ball.
He's not better than Amari Sears. Like, it's no way. I don't think it's a player better than Amari Sears. I think Amari Sears is number one. And that's not me just saying it because he's from down here, but
I think that's fair.
He's the Travis Hunter of 28 guys, like literally. So
I think that's fair. I got Jet third. I think he's very damn good. I'm not trying to take nothing away from the kid.
Damn good.
I just think he's an elite company. Like, it ain't, I'm not mad if somebody wants to put him one. I just think you probably got a little bias there because y'all figure he's going to Ohio State. You know, I actually just read an article where he was saying his brother told him not to go there just because he went there. And, you know, he said, if I do go, it won't be because of him. You know, he visited us in Oregon. I think maybe Notre Dame and them, kind of the usual suspects right now. If you look around the college, that like the elite recruiting right now is kind of us five schools at the tip top of it. And then I saw literally like an hour later, put a phone bomb in for him to go to Ohio State. So I was like, oh, surprise, surprise, you're going to Ohio State. Well, it's cool. I'm not mad at it because, again, my eyes is locked on, you know, talking 2028, it's Bryson Wright for me. Bryson, I think Bryson would be a five-star safety. Looking at some of his safety tape, like this kid is he kind again. That's why I got him and Sears higher because they doing elite things on both sides of the football. Matter of fact, with Sears, have they determined at Miami where they want him?
Yeah, he's a defensive back. He's gonna play cornerback in college.
Okay. Yeah, so I wasn't sure.
I was just, I made a point. I was saying, boy, just could you imagine having Nick Lanier on one side, having Amari Sears one side, and then having Bryson Wright all on the field together? And I was like, boy, that's kind of like cheating, to be honest. Like, how you?
But that's what Ohio State been doing.
Yeah.
So you want to fight with them? That's what they do. You got to give it to them. Boy, this is damn Ohio State. They're going to bring in 2, 3, 5-star wide receivers damn near every cycle. Now, they ain't all going to pan out, but half of them is. So if half of them pan out, I'm putting out some elite shit every time we line up outside that wide receiver. And, you know, hey, you want to get to that level? We already doing it in the trenches. And the trench level, it's hard to, you know, it's not a lot of people that I would say are outdoing us. But then when you take it and then start doing it at the skill positions, that's when it gets particularly spooky. That's when it get a little extra scary is when we able to do it at wide receiver too. And it's getting there. You know, the fact that we got Lanier, this was the one that everybody been wanting. You know, we mentioned on the show before because we've lost the Jerry Judy's, the Amari Coopers. You know, Alabama was doing that, right? Alabama's, you know, man, look, they got three dogs at wide receiver. Four, really. They got four of them. You're going to face three at a time. You know, you got to go out there and play Judy and Ruggs. Man, come on, man. Like, this is unfair. Is this who you had to line up for? So I think that's kind of the next level of evolution for us is to then get to where you really got to deal with a three-headed monster at wide receiver. I think we're getting close. Speaking of Bryson Wright, everybody knows that Florida State fan. I think Florida State completely out of it because his dad ain't no fool. So he just, as much as he is a fan, I don't think there's no way he's sending them there. I don't know. I don't see it. The only way I think they could have done it is if they would have hired Franklin. Because then you know you're dealing with a program builder. So you'd be like, hey, don't worry about it. Franklin going to get this thing turned around. But, shit, I don't know who they're going to get after Mike. It's going to be it's ugly, man. So
they're going to get Manny Diaz. They're going to get Manny Diaz.
Shit, Manny ain't leaving Duke to go to that shithole. Who thought today when Manny Diaz was like, hell no, I'm not going to that shithole. Hey. Man, he picked his ass right there at Duke. He ain't leaving Duke to go to Florida State. Duke is higher than Florida State today. I repeat, Duke is higher than Florida State today. That's a hard sell, man.
The reason why I say it is because Florida State could pay him a lot more than what Duke, because Duke not paying him. He's not even like top five highest paid in the ACC. He's really still low.
Yeah. I can see it in all honesty. He worked there at one point, right? Didn't Manny work there?
No, he went to he went to Florida State. Yeah, he okay. actually was a grad assistant under Bobby. Yeah, under Bobby Bowden. Yeah.
The thing is Manny to me, it wouldn't really be much different than Norvell because I don't think he's an elite recruiter, and I don't think he's a great evaluator. I don't think he's great at like actually evaluating talent. So it really wouldn't be. And if they hey, please hire Manny. I'm good with that. Matter of fact, we'll start the campaign here. Manny Diaz, 2028. Go get that man signed up. Put that garnet and gold on, bro. We cheering for you, man. You know it's all love still. Ain't no pressure. Ain't no hate. So line Manny up. Next Florida State head coach. I'm with it. I'm all the way with it. We can keep this thing going for a little while longer. I like to get that win streak out to 10. I want to bury him bad. I used to be, it's funny when the rivalry go back and forth. Nah, let's throw him in the dirt for 10 years in a row. And then after 10 years, all right, we'll throw a game. We'll have players betting on the game. We'll throw one, so y'all go ahead and get you one. You, like I said, those are some of the names I know for 2028 guys that they're getting the early grounds with. I think Bryson is, us, Florida.
It's really us and Ohio State with him.
Ohio State, yeah.
You gotta add the other top five. Defensive end. What's his name? Asher Giotto.
Giotto. Yeah, I'm not sure I can say his either.
He's a man. Yeah, he. The what he's saying about Miami, you could almost say, yeah, he basically commit, but he just ain't commit yet.
Yeah, specimen. You talking about? Already look college ready. I think it was buzz about him reclassing this year, and I can see why. He polished. He's physically there already. I think he is ready to at least be a college freshman. I think the plan, though, for the family, I think they have just decided to back on off and just, go ahead and let him have a senior year and, move into the next cycle. Feeling good there, too. You reload there. If you can get I think the one thing that made me worry about Bryson Wright with our recruitment is that his dad is Florida State. So I think he'd rather push him to Ohio State than to see him be a Cane and kick his nose ass. That's the only thing I worry about.
But the dad seems to be a businessman. That's what it seems like. He like, hey, listen, my son, y'all ain't finna undercut him.
No.
We talking business over here. So
that's I follow, bro.
And this a post Ohio State Heartline world too. So we got to see what that looks like too.
Right. Yeah, it ain't start kicking in yet. It's gonna have to. They have to see a little bit of faltering because they get Heartline a lot of credit for wide receiver development.
But then they got the Alabama coach who was getting all those receivers. So.
I think it's Hankton is their wide receiver coach. Am I right on that? Let me double check that. Yeah, it might be Hankton is the wide receiver coach over there now. Yeah, they got a program, bro. You can hate them or love them. One thing I have to do, I do have to tip my hat to them for what they've done as a collegiate football program because I can't think the last time Ohio State has been cheeks. It's been a minute. I don't know.
The athletic stuff? They had that bad season, maybe.
Yeah, right, and that didn't last long though. Tattoo gate thing that kind of slowed them down a half a step, but that shit ain't really knocked them boys out of the. It didn't knock them down like we had hoped. Cortez Hankton.
They too invested in football.
Columbus is kind of a weird city in the sense that like. It almost feels like a big little city, if that make any sense. Like, it's not a major attraction, but they got, like, everything you could think of commercially is there in Columbus. And they actually a test market city for a lot of these brands and companies. So, let's say, I know McDonald's was talking about doing, like, an all breakfast drive-through coffee shop type deal, right? Well, the flagship store They'll take it to Columbus first. See how it perform out there. If it do good there, then they'll try to take it around. And like, that's who they are. It's so weird. They got a weird spot in the world.
Yeah, like they're big enough to have an MLS team and a hockey team.
Right. Just enough. And, they, you know, the MLS team good. The Columbus Crew. I think they done won a MLS title or two or whatever. So they got a weird mix there. It's not small town like, you know, these SEC schools. But it ain't major city like, you know, obviously a L.A. or Miami, something like that. They got a good blend. I can see why a college kid would want to go there, honestly, because you ain't got to go like to the boonies where it's all like, you know, country and backwoods and a lot of racial injustices, you know, historically. You know, Columbus is a pretty diverse city in its own way, especially for it to be out there in the Midwest.
Yeah, the alumni got money. Like, it's just all those positive things, like you're saying.
Yeah, and for a college kid, I definitely can see Columbus. Columbus would be somewhere if I was in that position, I could see considering it because it'll remind me kind of like a big Savannah. It's like a bigger landmass Savannah where I can go, so I can understand what kid might like to go out that direction to. But anyways, yeah, it is Cortez Hankton. What was Cortez Hankton from before? Where did he work at previous to that?
He was at Bama.
Was Bama?
Yeah, he was at Bama.
Let's see, LSU. No, they got him at. Let's see.
No, LSU.
Yeah, it was LSU. So he was LSU and then Georgia. So he was in Georgia from 2018 to 2021. So yeah, shit, he was working. Yeah, and then he ended up going to LSU from 22, working with Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas. He had to work with George Pickens at Georgia. So yeah, he got a nice little track record too. So, you know, even though, again, see, that's the crazy thing, man. LSU been cranking out wide receivers before this dude got here, dog. Like, he wasn't there with Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, dog. You know, Jay Jettison and all these guys. Hey, LSU and Ohio State got the best argument for wide receiver you. And I don't know how close it is. And maybe you put USC. Maybe third.
Nah, you got to put Bama third before USC.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking all time. But yeah, if we look at
you're going all time.
It's close enough though, honestly, because Bama I wouldn't look at in the past. Really, Bama more recent, really the Saban era. Previous to that, you don't really look at Alabama like a wide receiver school. So when you kind of look at USC past and then now more recently, they still got like NFL wide receivers going first round now. Whereas in Bama done slipped a little bit in the last few years. So it's close. I think them two sitting right there, kind of 3-4, 3A, 3B, those are good. That'd be a good argument. I have to look at who the top of the top was for each of them. But hell, you just had Mekhi Lemon go. And then what? Before that, you had Jacoby Lane, I think. So they've been doing their thing at wide receiver as well. Shout out to our West Coast cousins out there. They trying to get it together. Big year for Link, man. See if Link can get something done out that way. Hey, don't laugh, man. This the year for him. I just don't think he got the big game in him. I just don't. And I don't think they're going to show much more patience because they don't put so much money in it. They're going to try to get a coach that can win this thing right now. They invest a lot of money, man. Their schedule pretty tough this upcoming season. So I can see where they're going to have issues. But they invest a lot of talent. Money and talent and a lot of money in Lincoln Riley for him to be the kind of coach that could get those W's. So I think this is a humongous year for him. Tough schedule or not, they're going to be like, hey, man, 10-2. If you don't pull that off, we got to get a guy while we've already got the money on the table, while we've already got the players we paid a lot of money to put on this field.
The worst thing that happened to Lincoln was Oklahoma made the playoffs, Miami made the playoffs, and Indiana. So a small school in your conference – can win a championship, right. You know, right. the cousin on the East Coast is back right now. And the school you left made the playoffs. So it's like, yeah, he got no excuse.
And the investment ain't the same, you know, over the last, especially like Indiana. Miami, pretty close to the same investment, you know, because we got ahead of the table on USC. But Indiana ain't investing that kind of money, man. That's Cignetti and his system and getting some of the right players for his system and getting some of these old guys.
Well, the infrastructure they've invested, because you know Mark Cuban and them, they snuck that money in there pretty good. So yeah, they don't sleep. Like they might not be getting the biggest names per se, but they pumped a lot of money into that program because all them dudes sticking.
They snuck that thing in without anybody noticing.
Yeah, on the low. On the like, low. That's why I'm kind of surprised they're not gonna land Monsoon sales.
Unfortunately, Miami, we didn't make the cut for him. Unfortunately, it's cool.
We're gonna slide. Yeah, they didn't either. It don't look like. It look like it's Ohio State.
I still think he end up at Bama. At the end of the day,
I don't know. You go to Bama right now, you wild.
I mean, but you know, the boy's an offensive guy. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Washington got a good record of wide receivers. He was there on the minute. That's true. I can see it.
Thing on offense, but I don't think he's and I think that's Bama fan base got to understand that Nick Saban is never coming back. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like we had to understand that Jimmy Johnson wasn't coming back, or you know, Butch Davis wasn't coming back to put together a roster like that. You know, we close with Mario, but we gotta let that go. Bama fans ain't gonna let it go because they just feel like it's supposed to be Nick Saban era every year. Nick Saban is gone.
Yeah, I think that people don't understand what you lose when you lose a coach like that is faith, right? So when you got Nick Saban, you got the faith of these kids that, oh, this is going to be a good football team, no matter what. Like, oh, this happened, that happened. Nah, Nick going to put a good football team out there, no matter what. So we're going to be in contention. We're going to compete. Now that you don't have Nick Saban, you bring in Kalen DeBoer. You don't know that Kalen DeBoer is going to do his thing, especially in the SEC.
It's an open market. It's an open market. So it's like having a car dealership used to mean something. That greasy palm used to mean something. Every school couldn't have that setup. Now it's an open market. So now, hey, Texas Tech got more money than Alabama. Miami has more money. We're talking about like alumni, like just a random type of people like that. Thousandaire really can't flex like he used to.
And that's the thing. They don't want to up the bag. You know, Miami, as much as they talk about how weak the fan base is, well, that NIL ain't weak. And for those not to know, NIL is boosted money, primarily. That's the bulk of the bag, right? Then you got your fans, you know, kick in whatever they do per month, crowdsourcing like that. But the bulk of that money, that's the boosters. And them Alabama old school cats ain't trying to pay these Negroes that kind of money, man. They talking about, shit, what happened to 40 in the charge? He won what? You tell this old cat, that guy, Trent Richardson. He got Trent Richardson on that campus for 50 grand and a Hellcat. That's 130 total. That man not trying to spend no money. You talking about you want to give him 500, 600, 700, 900, a million a year? No. Nah, y'all got to coach around that. Y'all got to figure. That's why they are the biggest proponents. Oh, we got to get this under control. Oh, this pay for play. Y'all was paying for play from the get here, but it was a much lower price tag, man. The price of that thing up, man. You know what I'm saying? And when it go up, you know, people get upset, man. When you can't get it, I get it. You know, when the market get inflated, you know, like that Paul Pierce clip we saw where Paul got all mad at the streamers. Paul got mad at the streamers because they run up the price of pussy, man. And Paul ain't trying to pay them numbers, man. That shit disgusted him, made him infuriated. Now, he a millionaire. Paul ain't Pope. But Paul ain't trying to pay them new numbers, man. And these young boys, they ain't got nothing but money to blow. So while you was getting it for the little 300-400, little bag here and there, man, them boys done ran the ticket up on you, man. So them boys hot. That's the same thing them SEC coaches going through. Now, is that fact that their boosters ain't trying to spend them same kind of numbers, man. So shout out to all the NIL boosters out there that's really putting in that bread. We sure appreciate it, especially at the University of Miami. Little old U of M. Got about 20,000 students, man. Small, you know, smaller alumni base. But boy, that alumni base show kicking ass on that money field.
Yeah, we rich over here, man. We got billionaires, man. We got billionaires sitting. Yeah.
Pull it.
We ain't pull no boat.
Remember that old team? Hey, Miami broke. Miami broke.
Okay.
Nah, matter of fact, Miami overspin.
Thank you for doing that. That ignited the fire for us to spend the money. And so, now y'all crashed.
Trolled into greatness. I told everybody, I said, the reason Jordan Travis was as good as he was, because I trolled him into greatness. I talked about that man being a wide receiver so bad, he had to go out there and prove that he was at least a collegiate wide receiver. And I take my hat off you, Jordan Travis. You did your thing, JT. You left your mark, man. I hate you got injured. I don't think y'all would have won it all, but you would give him a hell of a chance. I know you're mad at the Miami fans because you say you ain't never seen so many Miami plates around to now. It what it is, nigga. That's how the game go. Everybody love a winner. Everybody love a winner. We were the number two viewed team in the nation last year. You know why? Winners. People love winners, including Miami, and including everybody here. But that's all we got for y'all today, man. Appreciate you kicking it with us. Thanks for pulling up. We'll be back with you soon. Peace.
Peace, peace, peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.